Hey, good evening there, and thanks for joining us here on AM 800 WRTH, broadcasting live from... And if you're just tuning in, we had an amazing interview with Carrie from Ireland about her spectral co-workers and how she handles them when guiding people around the historic castles of County Down. My producer is waving at me, and it appears that we once again have Sean on the phone. For those of you who don't remember, Sean is from Southern Kentucky, and we've had a few phone calls with him about the incredible events happening in and around Tanglewood Hill, which is his house. Sean, are you there? You're on the air with AM 800 WRTH. Hello? Yes, I'm here. Excellent, Sean. It's good to hear from you. After last week, we didn't know what to expect. I have to admit, we tried really hard to figure out where you are so we could send help if needed. That's very kind, thank you. But no, I'm okay. If you don't mind, can I ask what was going on with the fireflies? That was the last thing I heard, kind of. When I was downstairs, I was hearing this noise. It was like crawling sound, skittering. When I got to the dining room, just outside the kitchen, I found the window was swarming with fireflies. We got tons of them around here anyway, and they're beautiful at night. But this time, well... I'm still seeing that image when I close my eyes at night. What image? The fireflies, they sort of, I don't know, coalesced. They arranged themselves into the shape of eyes, looking through the window. They flashed in unison like they were staring at me and blinking, just looking at me, through me. The entire time, I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I couldn't even scream. And the weird thing was, I kept getting these little flashes in my mind. The little girl, she was crying, and her grandma was trying to console her. And then the little girl was angry, yelling, and she ran out the door into the forest, and her grandmother was yelling after her, panicked. She wasn't angry, she was panicking. As I watched this, there was a sound, a noise, like static or something, or voices whispering. I'm having a hard time describing. It just kept building and building and louder and louder. And I just... When the girl ran into the forest and I saw that, it just all stopped. I'm not psychic. This has never happened to me before. When I finally stepped out of it, I was standing in my office upstairs. I don't remember going up there. I don't know if I walked there, if I ran there. I could have been picked up and carried there. I don't know. But I was standing in front of my bookshelf. I was looking for something. I can't... Look, I hope to God I'm not going crazy. Because I saw this. I saw it, I could see the phone in my hand. And the shelf is literally across the room from me now. What did you see, Sean? What was it? I shook my head, trying to clear my mind. I looked at the bookshelf, and I only have a few things on it right now. Some manuals, a couple things I need for work, a handful of novels, and some knickknacks, you know? I felt like I need to look for something, but nothing looked different or out of place. And then I turned around. My desk sits in front of the shelf, and I sit with my back to it. My computer was off, so the monitor was dark, and it's mirrorless. And I saw myself reflected in the glass. And I saw her. Sean, you saw who? Stephanie. She was standing next to the bookshelf. I know it was her. She was standing next to the bookshelf. I could see her reflected in the monitor, maybe 2 feet to the side of me. Her hair in a ponytail, and she's wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I froze. I couldn't scream. I couldn't run. I was just there, and she was looking at me, directly at me, and I'll never forget her eyes. How so? Because there was nothing there. She was just looking at me, and through me. She looked upset, like something was wrong, But her eyes, there just wasn't anything there. No one was home. And she was pointing at the bottom shelf of the bookcase.
What?
The bottom shelf. I didn't have anything on there. It's just a few inches above the floor. That shelf is empty. I blinked and she's gone. I ran out of the room. I ran down the stairs. My dogs were snoozing on the couch. They thought I was playing some kind of game. I don't get it, man. I thought dogs were supposed to be sensitive to this stuff or something.
Well, that's been my experience, yeah, Sean, but and cats even more so. I'm genuinely surprised they aren't acting strangely while any of this is going on.
So I went back to the room later that night. I didn't see her again, and I covered the monitor with a towel. But I felt compelled to check out that shelf. I don't know why. I knocked on it. Felt loose, felt hollow. So I jiggled it around a little bit and it just lifted off. And underneath it was a book. Leather cover with the word diary written on it. I had to choke back another shout, man. I still have no idea what the hell is going on here, but I sat down and I read the thing in one go.
Is this Stephanie's diary?
Yeah, and man, she was not too happy with her grandma. I don't get the feeling that she hated her or anything. It's not like that. But there's something that keeps coming up over and over again. And I hope you can give me some kind of insight about it.
Well, I can try. What did she write?
Here's the last entry. And honestly, it was the first one I read. She wrote, "I snuck away into the forest again after I got home from school. I know it makes Grandma mad, but I want to see my friend. He's so funny and fuzzy. We played for a while, and he kept flitting around the trees. I don't know how he does that, but it's so cool. His paws barely make any sound, even when we're crashing through the trees, pretending we're on a magical quest through a dark wood. I heard Grandma yelling at me to get back inside, so I gave him a big hug around his furry neck. I promised Floof I'd be back tomorrow and ran home. Grandma yelled at me for going out in the forest as always, and I had to do some extra chores, but I'll see him again tomorrow." And that's the last thing she wrote, man.
Who or what is Floof, Sean?
That's the thing, I don't know. She talks about him a lot throughout this journal. He's apparently big, bigger than she is, and furry. But what gets me, the thing she writes about, what he does... It's like he can wander around the forest without making a sound, and that flitting thing, she talks about that, you know, a few days back when she mentioned that he could move from one place to another in the blink of an eye. I mean, we have bears around here, but, I mean, little girl ain't going out in the woods to play with a bear, right? And bears are like tanks with fur. They don't play with little girls, and they don't teleport around the forest, right?
Well, not to my knowledge, no. Could it just be a child's imagination? Maybe the imaginary friend?
I thought so. I hope so. But last night, as I brought the dogs in from their walk, well, my house has a window that looks down to the side, and I usually leave the light on in that room so I can see the walkway when I come back with the dogs at night. I had both dogs with me, man, on their leashes, right in front of me.
Right?
So, why did I see a shadow of a massive dog sitting in front of that damn window?
What in the hell? What's come over at this time of night?
Sean, I just heard some... You hush down there! What in the hell are you barking at? There's no one here, there's nothing to bark...
Sean, I...
There are a wide variety of tropes in ghost stories. Many, if not most, revolve around loss, regret, unfinished business, the longing, the suffering, and other emotions and situations that evoke sadness and melancholy. After all, if a ghost exists at all in a story, it means that someone has died,
And it means that they've not moved on to whatever afterlife is encompassed by the universe of that story. Beyond sadness, there can be stronger emotions of anger and hatred, a drive to destroy, or a lust for revenge that lives beyond the grave. And sometimes a ghost story is about a happy-go-lucky teenage girl who died in a hot spring at a Japanese inn. And while death may be inconvenient for her, she's bubbly and full of life, even though she's been dead for years. I love a good ghost story, but I also enjoy variety. So, while casting about for paranormal anime, I kept an open mind beyond supernatural violence and darkness. A series popped up in my search results that looked absolutely delightful and offered a change from the norm. Reviewers said it was hilarious, with a touch of romance and fun characters. So I added Yuragiso no Yuna-san to my watch list, grabbed a drink, and settled in. In English, you'll find this anime under the title Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs. It's a romantic comedy harem-style anime adapted from a manga series by Miura Tadahiro and adapted for anime by Koyasu Hideaki and directed by Nagasaka Tsuyoshi. If you're unfamiliar with the concept of a harem anime, they usually feature a central character who is the focus of affection from multiple characters around them. While this is often a male character, it doesn't have to be, and you'll occasionally come across a genre called reverse harem, where the central character is female. The harem genre is often combined with other genres, and you'll find science fiction harem, fantasy harem, and, in the case of Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs, paranormal harem with a touch of comedy. It's a different kind of ghost story in that you'll observe many of the standard characteristics and beats of your standard tale, but they're flipped upside down and turned backwards to what you'd normally be used to. For example, in the opening few minutes of the first episode, we're introduced to one of our main characters and literally the center of our harem, Fuyuzora Kugarashi. He's a psychic who specializes in spiritual combat and banishing troublesome paranormal entities. Standard stuff, right? Especially for, you know, some kind of paranormal show. Except, he does this by punching them. Hard. There's no sage, there's no chanting, there's no real spell work in anything Kogarashi does. He rolls up his sleeves and punches the ghost so hard that he knocks it into another dimension or sends it on its way to the afterlife. As our story opens, Kogarashi rescues an elderly couple from a minor sort of demon and then asks them for directions to the Yuragi Inn, where he hopes to rent a room cheaply because he knows the place is incredibly haunted. It's not like ghosts bother him, and he can take care of himself. Besides, he's low on money, and he's deep in debt, because spirits used to regularly possess his body and force him to do things. This eventually led to his financial ruin, and he's just trying to get back on his feet. He wants to go back to school and lead a normal life. But we all know that's not what's going to happen, don't we? The Yuragi Inn isn't just a small hotel. It's what the Japanese call an onsen, which is to say it's an inn connected to a hot spring used for bathing and relaxation. You'll find many of these dotting the Japanese landscape, and some of them have been around for hundreds of years. The Dogo Onsen has a history stretching back over 1,000 years and is mentioned in a book of poetry from the year 759 CE, and it still operates today. The Yuragi Inn is, indeed haunted. But there's more to it than that, and we'll cover that here in a few moments. Kokodashi arrives at the onsen, ready to relax, but prepared for psychic combat. The proprietor of the Yuraki Inn seems to be a young lady named Chitose. She shows him to his room, and he weeps over the luxury he'll have of sleeping on tatami mats and not out on the street. Afterwards, he takes the first available opportunity to go bathe in the hot springs and relax his travel-weary body, and this is where he meets the ghost of the hot springs, the spirit of a beautiful teenage girl named Yunahana Yuna. Quick sidebar here. In Japanese, the family name always comes first, and that's the convention I'm using here. In America, Kokodashi would be considered his first name, and Yuna would be the first name of the titular spirit. In Japan, they'd be called by these names too, but their full names would be rendered backward compared to the naming conventions of the Western world. So, in American, her name is Yuna Yunahana, while in Japan, she's Yunahana Yuna. Granted, he meets this ghost because she too has come to bathe in the hot springs. She's nude, and while she knows that Kokodashi is there, she figures he can't see her because most people can't see her unless they're gifted with psychic abilities. Well, that small secret is quickly uncovered, and she panics, using her supernatural abilities to cause a bit of havoc by throwing things around, including Kokodashi himself. Incidentally, they refer to this as her poltergeist ability throughout the series, and if you do any research into real-world poltergeist activities, you'll find that there is often a link between the paranormal occurrences of a poltergeist and children and teenagers. Yuna herself is the ghost of a teenage girl, and it's rather fitting she's gifted with such abilities. But rather than just simply relate the rest of the story, I want to talk more about the tropes and the remixing of tropes found in this delightful and hilarious anime series. As I write this, it's available for streaming on Crunchyroll, so if you're into anime and ghost stories, I highly recommend this. Go check it out. But we've already talked about the psychic combat being more of a martial art than your standard spiritual warfare, but the Japanese have a rich history of stories about people imbued with special powers taking on the forces of darkness. This is a type of story that's buried deep within the framework of all human societies. The other tenets of the Yuraki Inn include a demon-slaying ninja, a living vessel for a cat god, an ogre, and more. All of them will fight against the forces of darkness, but they stand especially firm in protecting Yuna from harm. Yet, not one of them is what you might expect when it comes to supernatural warriors. One of the most powerful entities at the end is a girl in middle school. The ogre is what you might expect from Western stories in that she's often drunk, she's loud, she's uninhibited, but boy, she certainly does not look like Shrek. It's a novel approach to supernatural characters you don't often see outside of Ghostbusters or, more recently, What We Do in the Shadows. As a ghost, Yuna remains quite human. She's able to interact and speak with others. She can touch and manipulate physical objects without any problem, and she herself can be touched as well. Most people cannot see her unless they possess some measure of supernatural ability. But everyone at the Yuraki Inn carries such abilities so they can all see her. She communicates with those who can't hear her through writing, because she can hold a pen and paper. She's not latched to the darkness, and indeed, Yuna is not nocturnal. She prefers to sleep at night and be active during the day so she can be around her friends. And yet, Yuna herself is a strange ghost, even to those in the anime, because ghosts typically have a lingering regret that keeps them tied to a location, that keeps them bound to this physical world. Yuna refers to herself as a bound ghost, in that she can't stay away from the Yuraki Inn. Well, she can leave during the day, and she does so to run errands and go places with others. By night, she has to return to the inn to sleep. The weird thing is, Yuna feels no lingering regret whatsoever. While she's happy to live at the Yuragi Inn, she doesn't remember anything about her previous life at all. She's not even sure how or where she died or how she wound up at the inn. And at the heart of this amnesia, she has no memory of a lingering regret that would tie her spirit back to the physical world. Kokodashi pledges to help her recover these memories, discover her regret, and help her transcend. But for the time being, she remains at the inn, living a blissful existence and around people that she loves and those who love her. If you consider that, well, that's not a bad way to spend your days as a ghost. While romance figures prominently in many tales of the paranormal, humor is comparatively rare, and happiness among the dead even more so. Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs is worth your time beyond the entertainment. As an example of how a ghost story can be transformed and reconfigured into something you wouldn't normally see. It's a dark world out there right now, my friends. And the supernatural world could be even darker. So, maybe a little lightness and a lot of laughter might help. Thank you for tuning in. This is AM 800 WRTA.